Want to welcome everybody here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Those that are here for the first time, we welcome you, amen. And we're excited to have you here with us this day. Those viewing online also for the first time, we're excited to have you as well. And those viewing online that tune in every Friday and Sunday, I pray that you be blessed here this day as the word of the Lord goes forward. Again, the women had the Great Lakes Women's Discipleship. I saw it online, and it was very, very, very powerful. I believe the women that attended were impacted in more than one way. Amen. I believe those that were even viewing online, God was able to speak unto their lives. And as the senior pastor, along with my wife, I want to thank all who helped to put this Great Lakes regional service together. I want to thank all the churches throughout the Great Lakes that came. And I also want to, those that attended that were here personally, I want to thank you for being a part of it. Amen. Are you ready for the word here this morning? Amen. I'm excited. I believe the Lord has a word for you, whether you're brand new to the church or you've been coming for a while now. I truly believe in my heart the Lord has a special word from His heart for your life, for your situation. Whether you're not doing too hot, things ain't going too good, I believe He also got a word for you, even if you're doing great. If you're doing great, because if you're doing great, you just might find yourself in a place of faith right now, in a place where you're not too sure of the next move, because God has just advanced you, amen, from glory to glory, as His word says. So I believe those that are not doing too hot, those that are doing great, that we all need a word from the Lord here this morning. I'm real excited. You guys got me nervous. There's so many new faces here today that tells me God is doing something fresh and new. Amen. So I'm excited and nervous here this day all at the same time. Amen. The title of this morning's message is, "What you see is what you get." That's a worldly saying. But through today's message, what you see is what you get. Spiritually is not always the truth. What you see is what you get. I told you he was going to do that. I told you she was going to do that. What you see is what you get. But spiritually speaking here this day, it's not always the truth. And this perfectly displays the life of Job. What everybody was seeing was not the truth. And I want to speak on that here this morning, on how people might be viewing your life right now, because it might be not going too good for you right now. And they may be viewing your life as what you see is what you get. Not knowing that God is doing something in your life right now, even though he or she or mom or dad cannot see it. Because what you see is what you get is not always true when God is in the situation. And I believe here this morning, God is at work with the one that is heavily troubled right now. God is at work. And he's so smooth about it that you may not even be able to see what he's doing in your life as I'm speaking right now. You may not even see it for yourself of what God is doing in your life right now. Because all you can see is your trouble, your past, what everybody else is seeing and saying. Good today. It's going to be good today. And the work of the enemy here this day is for you to believe what you see is what you get. The work of the enemy is for us to be deceived in what the Lord is really doing within our lives right now. And even though he or she may not be able to see it yet, God already sees it. He already knows what he's going to do because he's working it out. He's working it out from within your life. He's working out the truth that the Bible records and says will set the captive free. And I believe here this morning, and those viewing online, that there's a few that need to be set from this or that, whatever the this or that might be. There's things you're struggling with right now that are stronger than who you are. Because if you wanted to change it, you would have changed it in your power long time ago. But there's certain things that take place within a man's life, a woman's life, a young adult's life that only God can take care of, that belong to the Father. There's certain things that you and I just can't do. And that does not make us a weak person. There's just certain things taking place in our life right now that belong to God. That belong to God. So it's very important that we place ourselves in the presence of God, amen, to allow him the opportunity to work out what needs to be worked out of our lives. That we've come to find that we can't do it. We've given it our best shot. We tried him and her. We tried finances. We tried this and that. But still you find yourself in that struggle. And you feel confused here this morning. I want to let you know that the great news of the preaching of the gospel is about to go forth as a key to unlock what God wants to unlock and unleash from within your life that only he can do. The Bible says that the word of the Lord cannot be chained with a log. Paul said that when he was in prison, and even though he was all shackled up, the Bible says through Paul's writings that the truth couldn't be shackled, couldn't be chained. In other words, even though he was chained, shackled, he was still ministering to the guards and the people that were in the prison system, because nothing could stop the truth. Not even chains. So if the word of God cannot be chained, cannot be locked, it tells us that it's a key then. It's a key. The word of the Lord is a key, and its key It's not just the key. There's keys that open your house that might turn your car on, that open the church doors. But in big places like hospitals, we had a brother that was working at the VA for a minute, and there's thousands of room at the VA down the road from here. And in the VA, there's a key called the master key. And this master key was just one key, but it was able to open all the rooms in this place instead of having 1,000 separate keys. And I believe the master key is about to go forth, the word of God, to pick, if you're from the hood, to open up any lock and every lock that is taking place within your life here this day. Jesus, right now, through the preaching of his gospel, through the master key, is about to unlock what has been locked within your life long enough. Once again, the title to the message is, What You See Is What You Get. And we're going to prove that saying of the world to be a lie. To be a lie here this day. Amen? I'm going to brush up on last Sunday's message to get into this Sunday's message. Amen? You mean who I am, Pastor? When I look into the mirror, it's not me? Nope, it's not. That's just what you look like. But who you really are, your true identity, is who you are on the inside. Who you really are is who you are on the inside. Your true identity. So you can spend all those hours in front of the mirror putting that makeup on. It's good. It's all good. Some feel that it's a need that has to take place in order to look better. I say that you can be without makeup here this day and be in the presence of God and get better looking by the end of this service. Who wants to be better looking here this morning? Oh, that's not me, Pastor. He probably needs it. I don't. You lie. Especially when you start getting a little older. You start really getting a little closer to the mirror. What you see is what you get. The title of this morning's message is not always a truth. As we springboard off of last week's message to get into this week's message, we go to the book of Job chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. To read in these three verses in who Job really was. These three verses here was Job's true identity, his true family's identity, and the blessings. This who Job really was. Amen? As we read, there was once a man. I wonder if there's currently a new man. But here it says, there was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person at an area. Let's pray. Thank you. We love you. give you all glory and all honor. I pray that you open hearts and minds here this day to the truth in what you see within our lives. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Last Sunday, we learned that the author of the book of Job, commentary says, was either Moses or Job himself that wrote the book of Job, 40-some chapters. Amen. Last week, we learned that there was an order there found in verse 1. There was an order found in verse 1, in verse 2, and verse 3. And in verse 1, we found out that what was first in this order was that he had complete integrity. He was blameless. Amen. He feared God and that he stayed away from evil. The second point of the order of the life of Job is found in verse 2, that he had a blessed family. Amen. Of 7 sons and 3 daughters. And then the third point to the order of the life of Job, he was hooked up by God. The Bible says that he owned 7,000, 3,000 camels, 5,000 of oxen, fire and film, and he also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. So we find here on the order we talked about last Sunday, on how him being a man of full integrity was foundation to his family, and last, financially, in dealing with areas of materialism. Amen? In verse 8, we not only found whether it was Moses or Job that talked so highly about Job in verses 1 to 3, but in verse 8, we get a confirmation from God himself that confirmed what was either said about Job, from Job or from Moses, was not only something they saw, but something God saw. The Bible says, then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless. You see how he's the finest? I believe that's the best looking. Why? He had integrity. He stayed away from evil. You see, that helps so much more than what perfume and makeup, eyelashes, and all that stuff jumping off in these days that we're living in. The Bible says that he was the finest man in all the earth. Amen? He was good looking, so good looking that he was fine. I believe there's a few men here this day on the outer appearance feel they're good looking, that they're fine. But remember, what you see is what you get. It's not always an inner truth. And though you may have it going on the outside, I believe God was bragging on his son Job on how fine he was on the inside. On the inside. In what only God was able to see. Moses, as great as he was, could not see how fine Job was on the inside. He could only see how blessed he was, how fine to do he was on the outside. He was able to see verse 3 very clearly of the many blessings and servants and riches that he had. But God was able to look into his heart and life and said, this is the finest man I got on all the earth. God confirms who Job is not only by what can be seen on the outside, and that was found in verse verse 3, on all his material belongings, amen, but also what's seen within his life. I put here, people can only see what's going on in your life on the outside on a good day. They can come close to discern. On a good day, people can only see what's going on in your life on the outside. But even myself included, of 25 years spending time with the Lord, I cannot look into your heart. I can go off of your actions, somewhat place you where you're at. But to say that I'm able to look into your life and see what God is doing right now, it's not a truth. Because I know what you see is what you get is not a truth. Our ministry currently is all around the world with a bunch of X, this, and that messed up people that society, people, parents, family gave up on based on what they saw their son, their daughter do. Amen. Based on what they saw their wife do, their husband do, grandma, grandpa do. Based on what they were able to see, they made a discernment call. And God was looking at the same person that people were looking at. My life viewed from my mom and dad, my brothers and sisters, the prison system, was seen correctly based on my actions and who I was. But what you see is what you get is not always the truth when God steps into a man's life, a woman's life, a young adult's life. And what my family all saw, they were correct. I was able to agree that they were correct. But what God saw in my life, his creation, was something that he could use down the line. After I would become handsome, not only on the outside, but more importantly, on the inside. And I believe with the world today, we're all caught up in what we look like on the outside and willing to spend a lot of money to change it. Instead of placing our focus on what we look like on the inside. I know some of you girls, I'm not putting my wife down or anything, I know she's in there a minute when she puts on her makeup and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with makeup, as long as you still get with the Lord. Because you should be more concerned what you look like to the Lord than what you look like to people. We have a problem when we are putting an hour or two in front of the mirror that can only give us revelation on what we look like on the outside. And we spend no time with the Lord that is the only one that is able to give us an inner facelift for free. Where he can say, she is one of the finest in the Church of Victory Outreach, Milwaukee. He is one of the finest men in the church right now in Victory Outreach, Milwaukee. Not based from the perspective of what people see, but based on what God sees within your life in my life? Is he saying, "Woo, that's fine," or "We need to work. We need to go to work"? A facelift is needed within your life. Pastor, you saying I'm ugly? No. You're beautiful. You're handsome. But maybe spiritually you are. Have you ever heard someone say, "She acts so ugly. It's something coming from the inner look. In 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13, I'm going to share this verse and then I'm going to get into what the Lord gave me for this Sunday. It's very important because sometimes we think we're brought up on the wrong side of the tracks and we just can't make it based on, you know, our upraising. It's not a truth. What you see is what you get is not always the truth. When we have a heavenly Father that's able to transform any man, woman, or young adult within what's taking place within their life here this beautiful Sunday morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12, 13, the Bible says, "If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall." I want you to listen. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will. He will show you a way out so that you can endure. And the first point here is that we all face the same temptations, whether you grew up on this side of the tracks or on this side of the tracks. Whether this is your first service or you've been with me now going on 19 years, we all face the same temptations because the adversary, the tempter himself is Satan. We all still face the same temptations no matter what your skin color is here this day. We all face the same temptations. And if some can make it, tell all can make it. Why? Because we face the same temptations. We face the same temptations. The second point is that He will not allow more than you can stand, making it real personal. I didn't say that He will not allow more than we can stand. The Bible says that He will not allow more than you can stand. And a lot of people mess up because it doesn't say not what someone else is facing, but what you are facing. And a lot of times we can't stand under the pressure of what we're facing because of what someone else is doing. We're trying to help someone else when the Bible clearly says that the Lord will not give you too much what you can't stand under. And a lot of times we find it hard to be faithful to the Lord because we're all caught up in what someone else is doing. So now we're taking on what we're going through and what they're going through. The Word of God says that He will not give you, allow temptation to be more than you can stand. Than you can stand. The best you can do for someone else is intercede for them. The Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But when we try to be God, you're only going to find yourself stuck and feeling that you can't carry the weight that's on you because it's not only you, what you're coming under, but what he and she and everybody else is coming under. And that's why the Bible says that we need to deny self and pick up our cross daily. It's made personal to each and every one of us. That he will not allow more than you can stand. The third point is that God will show you a way out. That God will show you a way out. No matter what you're going through right now as I'm speaking, and I'm being sensitive, I'm not saying I don't care what you're going through. The Word of God says. I'm being encouraging here this day. Giving you a revelation that says no matter what you're going through, God will show you a way out of it. God will, the Bible says, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. In other words, not just for you can know the way out, but to endure means to become even stronger. To become even a stronger brother in the church, a stronger sister in the church, a stronger young adult in the church. I know that everybody wants to be more beautiful and more handsome, but how many want to be more stronger also with muscles like your pastor? Because if we really had our way, we would want to be handsome and beautiful and fit and muscle bound with all this going on. Amen? In Job, we read in chapter 1, verse 3, I'm going into Sunday morning's message right now. Everybody in verses 1 through 3 was able to see that Job was a blessed man. Even Satan himself was able to see that God, that it didn't come because he was breeding sheep and donkeys and camels, but it was God that blessed him. Everybody knew that Job was a blessed man. That Job had order in his life. Jesus being the foundation of the order of the blessings of God upon his life. Even Satan knew it. His wife knew it. His children knew it. His friends knew it. Everybody knew that Moses was blessed when everything was going great from verses 1 to 3. And this is where the message starts. Everybody was able to see that the life of Job was a blessed life, that everything was going great. Even God confirmed what man had to say about the life of Job. So people could see it. God could see it. It was displayed outside of his life that he was a blessed man. God was able to see what was taking place outside of his life for God to say, blessed man, a man of full integrity, blameless. Runs from evil. It was displayed in the great times outside of his life that he was blessed, and even within his life that he was blessed. But I have a question here this morning. But how about when everything is not going great within your life and family? Now we're going to shift gears and view the life of Job beyond verse 3. Beyond verse 3, when God would give him access to the life of Job. And we're going to there was his old lady with his wife first, amen? In Job chapter 2, Now we're no longer under the blessings. He's looking really, really bad. The enemy has come and taken his belongings, and his body condition is really bad. The Bible picks up and says, Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. Here comes his wife. She's looking at the once blessed life of her husband. Something happened. It was no longer the same man before her, or was it? Because what you see is what you get is not always the truth. But when all you can see is what's taking place in someone's life from the outside, what you see is what you get is the truth. And here we find in Scripture that his wife said to him, she spoke this to the life of her husband, Job. I believe for him to accommodate all these sheep and donkeys and all that he had, that he had been hooked up by God for a long time. He hadn't been sitting looking good for a few months, but it had been a way of life for a long time. I believe Job's wife was under the blessings for a long time and was able to enjoy the blessings for a long time. But now suddenly what looked great now didn't look good at all. And she speaks to her husband these words. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." How many sometimes are just trying to maintain? Amen. We call it being on maintenance. You're not going backwards. You're not going forward either. You're just on maintenance mode. And look at the way Job replied. But Job replied, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we," because there were one, according to the word of God. Job sets her straight and says, "Should we accept only good things from the hand of God? And never anything bad?" So in all this, Job said nothing wrong, but he jammed her. Friends, you and I gotta get to grips right now that even if we're serving God, yes, great things will take place in our lives, but so will hard times come. And Job answered, "Man, we've been hooked up for many years by God. And you want me to curse him now? On a bad time, on a bad day, when things look bad, what you see is what you get?" But Job was still the same man of God inside, but outside his life. Now everybody that was able to see how blessed he was able to see how cursed he was, or was he? And I believe too many times we judge people by what's going on the outside of their life instead of discerning what God is seeing within their life and why he brought you to church today and why you're viewing online today, because God's got a plan with broken people in hard times. I believe angels are going to start flying around here right now. How many need to be hooked up of God right now? How many want to go beyond looking fine on the outside and looking fine on the inside? He jams his wife. She had forgot the many years and the blessings and the goodness of God for not only her marriage, but for her children. She forgot so quick in the midst of a hard time. God wasn't really who he was. And too many times we crumble under pressure. God, where are you? He's right here, right now. That's where he's at. And he's looking to do an inner work within your life to transform your life, to transform others through your life. He's looking for a broken life to fix and mend broken lives. He's not looking for perfect lives. He's not looking for the prettiest girl in the church or the handsomest guy in the church right now. He's looking for broken vessels that are willing to accept an inner spiritual facelift to your true identity, who you really are. Tells us tough times come to the faithful. It's just kind of hard to see what's taking place on the inside when hard times come. That's why it's so important that we got to have foundation. We got to have some Jesus in our lives, because he's not going to give us too much that we can't stand under, and he says he will show us a way out. And the purpose in what you're going through is to learn from your mistakes, but to come out even stronger, to endure greater things. Amen. Because God wants to take you forward. He wants to take the church forward, to bless us and hook us up. That's part of it. But to save the lost and the SOS, the salvation of souls. And that's why we're going to the streets after the service. Because I believe the most handsome and beautifulest girls in the church are the ones that go to the streets. I say stay encouraging. And there's new people here. That was my note I put before I came up here. His wife that was cool with her husband, in verses 1 to 3, now can no longer see the blessings, though the blesser was still there in her husband. His wife could no longer see the blessings. And she says, why are you trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. You're embarrassing. I was an embarrassment to my mom and dad. I was an embarrassment to my brother and sisters and the drugs and the addiction and the ODs. And I was an embarrassment. Because I was greater than who I was portraying to be in my actions. I was so much greater. But all everybody could see was the drug addict. All everybody could see was the man in prison. But God was able to see who he created. The time was right. God didn't wait for me to get into a church. God entered my cell. Amen. 826577. And he entered my life. He was able to see what he created was good. All I needed was an inner spiritual facelift to fulfill who I really was based when God created me. Many of you are not who you are, think you are. Many are not who you think you are right now. The only way you can let God in to give you a spiritual makeover, facelift, is by spending time with Him. You got to allow Him to do surgery, inner surgery within your life. Some of you got to learn how to be still. And that's why when somebody goes to heart surgery, they put you out. For you won't be moving while they're dealing with a very important heart surgery. But the problem with the church today, everybody's always moving. Nobody wants to be still and know that He is God based on His word. See, anesthesia, when you're put out, you can't do nothing. You can't get in the way. The only thing that slows me down because I'm still hyper is getting in the presence of God and spending time with the Lord in prayer. That's the only thing that can slow me down. And right after I come out of there, I'm still under sedation. Like when you come out of surgery, you're still woozy, and you're feeling it. And then your head clears. I'm good. The problem with some of you is that moving around in Christ represents wanting to stay in control. Being still represents allowing God to be God of your life. And allowing Him to lead the way. The woman that was hooked up, she was really not, I say, down with her husband. She was really looking at the sheep, the goats, and the camels. We'll go on that one. We're going to keep moving because then Grandpa's going to get in the message. Grandpa said, preach it. I am. Grandpa told me a story one time. I told it in the church already, but it fits right now. She was really basing her relationship with her husband on what the stuff they had. Grandpa says it's a true story also that there was a man and woman in San Jose, California, Portuguese people. Not talking about none of us, amen? Darn Portuguese people. Grandpa says that they got divorced and that this man had thousands and thousands of Jersey cattle, milk cattle, amen? And that she got the house. He stayed with the cattle. But according to Grandpa, he says time had gone by and that she came crying with crocodile tears saying, I love you. Give me a chance. According to Grandpa, that was his wife of many years. He felt sorry for her, so he got married to her again. And this time she took all the cows. According to Grandpa, he says, fool me once, not twice. You ain't getting my cows. Job's wife's cows were taken, and she fell to pieces and told her husband, curse God and die. Because she couldn't see camels and the oxen and the sheep no more. But little did she know that the blesser of all that was still in her husband's life. In chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible reads, I put here, in other words, only serving God in the great times and not in the hard times. That's what his wife was saying. Let's just worship God in the good times, but curse Him. Die. We're in bad times right now. I put it, the point is, or should I say the problem is, that there's too many good time Christians only serving in the good times. Write it down. I'll give you time. I'm going to take a drink of water. You need more time? You need to borrow a pen? I'll drink another swig of water. We got too many good time Christians only wanting to serve in the good times. And that's where the majority miss it, right there. That's the way his wife viewed the life of Job now beyond verse 3. Let's see the way his three best compas, friends, viewed his life. Amen. Job chapter 2, 11 to 13. The Bible says, when three of Job's friends heard, it was bad, they heard, of the tragedy he had suffered, they got together and traveled from their homes to comfort and console him. Their names were Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shunite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. When they saw Job from a distance, de lejos, when they saw Job from a distance, they scarcely recognized him. Wailing loudly, they tore the robes and threw dust into the air over their heads to show their grief. Then they sat on the ground with him. For 7 days and nights, no one said a word to Job, for they saw, they heard, now they're seeing, for they saw that his suffering was too great for words. Too great for words. I put here, friends will usually not have the right spiritual words from what they see taking place in your life. They can give you good advice, counsel you, and give you good, hey, man, slap out, hey, Oron, come on, man, let's go. But friends are rare nowadays. May have many, but that can carry the truth of God and give it to you in a timely season are rare. That are not only able to see what you look like in what you're going through, but able to counsel you as I'm giving the word here this day to what is able to change the situation you're in right now. It says, saw that his suffering was too great for words. In other words, it was a God factor. It was calling for God intervention. I believe some of you are still trying to work out what belongs to God here this morning. You're just trying it this way, this way, this way, this way. You're trying to figure out, you're trying to fix. Because you're good at this, and you're good at that, and you're good at that. But there's something you just can't fix. You can't change. Because it's a God factor. It's a God thing. You need to let God in your life. It was clear to everybody that Job was a blessed man when everything was going right. His wife and friends and even Satan were able to see that Job was a blessed man when everything was going right. But there was only one. Tell your neighbor there was only one. Tell him not three, not five, not ten. But that there was only one, according to pastor's notes. But there was only one that could see the inner truth of the life of Job. There was really two. Job could see that God was still with him. And God, Job knew that if anything was going to happen, his hope, it was going to have to be on God at this moment. If anybody was going to change his situation, he was on the ground, they were sitting with him, all his three friends. As you read on, they all started accusing him of sin, and that's why the condition he was in. But Job also knew what God knew. Job knew, if there's anybody that can change my situation right now, it's the God within me. If there's anybody, there's some things, yes, that God will not give you beyond temptation that you can't stand under. But I believe there's some things that you're dealing with right now that to stand under, you need God. You need God. You can't do it in your power. The Bible says that we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. All things mean he'll show you a way out in all things, in all circumstances. But it's not through our power, but it's through Christ that strengthens us. I want to show the picture up there, amen. I was praying this morning, and there's a pastor that sends me stuff in Spanish every morning, faithfully. So I want to read in Spanish, and then I want to translate for you non-Spanish speakers. And it says, ¿Sabes por qué este reloj está sin manecillas? That means no hands on it, right? The hour or the minute hand. Even the second hand. Porque Dios no tiene fecha ni hora para bendecirte y cuidar de ti y de tu familia. Siempre está contigo. Translated in English. Do you know why this clock does not have the minute hand, the hour hand, and the second hand? It says it's because Jesus don't need a date nor time to bless you, to care for you and your family, because he's always with you. He's always with you. Not that just at 5 in the morning, he was with me in prayer today, but he's always with me. Not only in the good times, but also in the hard times. He's always with me. He's always with you. The Lord don't need the hands of the clock and the minute hand and the second hand to know what time it is with your life. Nor does everything have to be going perfect in your life for the Lord to bless you right now, to care for you right now. At the end it says, because in Spanish, because he's always with us. He's always with you, 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 and you. He don't need a watch. He goes by the watch of eternity. It's timeless. We though, and even though we got the hour hand, the minute hand, the second hand, some of us still don't know what time it is. Some still come late to church. Some forget the day of the week and don't come to church. I'm going to keep it encouraging, and there's new people here. My reference point. And I finish with this point, guys. Pressure on the outside, in other words, what your situation is looking like, is not always the inner truth. Job was looking messed up. Everybody said it, even his wife did. Even his three amigos, his friends did. Even Satan said, yep, he tore back now. But nobody but God and Job himself could see the inner truth of the outside pressure that was on his life. Point, God's able to see us through everything. And he uses pressure just like a bodybuilder uses weight and resistance to build muscle. I'm going to have the worship team come up here this day, please. I believe some could be going the wrong way right now. I mean, you know you're wrong. You don't have to be told. And you can make it to the altar today and get blessed of God. and get blessed of God right now, today. You can get blessed of God right now. God is not going off of the life you're living right now. It's where He wants to take you. You can be doing all the things, hanging out with evil, and you find yourself in the house of God here this day. Got things going on the side that shouldn't be taking place in your life that you're not too proud of. I want to let you know that even by man's perspective, you probably don't deserve to get hooked up. Mom and dad says that enough's enough, stufas. That's what my mom would tell me. And she would say, ya basta contigo, ya basta. Niño este niño, ya basta contigo. I never knew what basta was. That was it, man. Enough with you. But that's not the way God looks at us. It's not the way God looks at us. Says, man, you are messed up. Everybody sees it. I see it too. What God sees when a man's all messed up, when a woman's all messed up, God says, I want to get closer to you now. I'm going to show you what I'm able to do. I want to show you what I'm able to see right now within your life. I want to get you to a place to be able to use your life. I want to bless you right now. Now, I know you're on parole. I want to bless you right now. I know you're divorced. I want to bless you right now. My kids are in prison. I want to bless you right now. God's not looking at what we have done. God's looking at what He wants to do. Because of what He sees that we can't see. You don't have to be an A student right now to be blessed of God. Because God uses best. I always say the most messed up people He uses best. That can't claim that it was their doing that got them where they're at. That it was a God factor. As we stand here this day, it don't have to be drugs for your life to be confused right now. There's some of you that have never touched a drug and you're confused right now. You're not happy right now. There's some viewing right now online and there's something missing within your life. It's not camels, it's not donkeys, what Job had. It's the blesser, what Job had within his life. And sometimes there's going to be situations where it's just you and God, you and the blesser. And things may not be looking too good. People might be judging you, talking about you, criticizing you. But God sees the integrity, the blessed man, the blessed woman, the blessed young adult, whatever the song is. I'm going to open up the altars. We have a beautiful turnout right now. I challenge you to come to the altars because God is wanting to do something fresh. God is wanting to use your situation, even if it's a negative one, to do something new, to do something good, not only for your life, but for those that are still lost and bound. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus. He's looking into your heart right now.
Jesus, you don't know.
He's looking into your heart right now. And all He's saying is, I am the blesser. And I'm able to bless whoever I want to bless. Whether it's materialistically, spiritually, I'm able to be a father that's able to do all things right now. Right now. Our Heavenly Father is saying there's nothing I can't do for you right now, right now, right now. God wants to do it right now. Some of you need to close your eyes. Some of you need to close your eyes because he's speaking to you, not the person next to you. Some of you just need to lock in with God right now. Lock in with God right now. He's here right now. He's here. Oh, shatarabasitarabakoya. He's wanting to do something fresh. Something new. This year within your life. He not only wants to bless you, he wants to use you. He wants to bring out your true identity. That's what our Heavenly Father wants to do right now. He wants to bring out who we really are. And not who we think we are, but who we really are. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Right there with the Lord. Get with the Lord right there.
Jesus, you know all this.
Play through, play through, play through, play through.
More than anything.
Oh, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I just want you. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do.
I believe there's an anointing right now. An anointing that's breaking the yokes of bondages right now. I also believe that there are sons and daughters, husbands and wives that are not here, that are being set free right now. There's an anointing here right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.